Alrighty, so we'll get things kicked off here for the afternoon session. I'm so delighted to have everyone here. I imagine the folks from Cambodia are feeling a little sleepy at this point. When I travel back from Asia to here, this is actually the worst part of the day. You have a meal and get all kind of sleepy. So thank you for hanging in. But this should be a really fantastic panel. I want to introduce Glenn Poppy, who is sort of my thought partner in a lot of this. Glenn and I feel like I've known you forever, but we've actually known each other not very long. But we've had some really great brainstorming sessions, some really great thinking collaboratively, and a lot of the local first entrepreneurship idea came as a result of our conversations and Glenn's really deep interest in sort of making tech work for people. Without a whole lot further ado, I'll hand it off to you, Glenn, who's a fellow at the LePage Center, and let you take it away.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be up here. Thank you, Wayne and Dominican, for hosting us. This is awesome. And for everyone who's traveled so far and participating, the students' presentations were amazing. So really appreciate that. So I'll start with how Wayne and I first started talking about this. Which is my wife's a professor of English literature here at Dominican, and she wrote a paper with a colleague called Grounding the Humanities that looked how you might take in the university, take the humanities, and actually ground it in the geographies, the histories, the communities of its place. And I'd been thinking similarly around how to do the same for the web and for technology, and thinking similarly around how do you get that community then to participate in the creation of that technology, the control of that technology, and then how might a university and a regional university like Dominican actually participate in helping support that creation and control of that work. I think to put this in context, so I'm a technologist, I've been an entrepreneur and a venture capital investor, and come with this and I of from the tech world. Mark Andreessen had this quote, software is eating the world, and it's now been 15 years since he said that, which is crazy. And now I think we can say that software has in fact eaten the world. But it's a very specific kind of software. And I think when we think about what happened locally, it's useful to look at Craigslist. So I don't know if Craigslist exists in Cambodia, but in the US, this was kind of in Web 1, one of the main places where a local community would exist online. And in many ways, Craigslist was like 100 businesses in a trench coat. And what ended up happening is that this model of venture scale, globally, scale the company as quickly as you can, lock people into it, and then extract value from it, was done kind of verticalized in every one of these clusters. So something like the forums were taken over by Reddit and job postings by Indeed. And so this became the software that we use locally. It's really organized in this function, less so locally. And so as a result, our local information ecosystems and our local economies have been really reshaped by this. So we're all intermediated by these technologies. These are just some examples, but I think it's useful to think about like local news in the US, for instance, has had this catastrophic fall off. And a lot of that is not just for the newspapers, it's just what voices are we paying attention to? Like how are we managing our attention? And it's shifted away from those voices that are in community caring about what you're doing and to the algorithms that are deciding what it is that you see and whether or not they're aligned with what you're caring for locally. And the same is true of the value of that attention. So the $100 billion in local digital ad spend, most of that is going to pure play technology businesses like Google and Meta. And so it might be that it's a bakery or a plumber down the block who's advertising to you, but it's actually most of that money is leaving your community and it's going to these big companies. That's where the landscape is that we're sitting in, but we now have some new tools to do something differently. And so, some of the things that are changing, one is vibe coding, which is, AI-assisted coding. The hottest new programming language is English, right? And so with the class at Dominican this year, we had some folks come in and actually teach you how to do this, how to use Replit, how to use Lovable, and actually just go and be able to create those things for yourself. you know, just drastically dropping the cost and the expertise needed to actually build software. Similarly, there's a bunch of alternatives now to these core platforms. There are open protocols, open social layer protocols. There's local first infrastructure. In this case, it's local first and that it lives on your machine before it lives in the cloud. And what this lets folks do is actually build in ways that are not actually going to be captured and locked in, that the identity, that data, those network effects are actually ones that exist at a layer that is not being captured by the business, the tech businesses on top. And then we're also seeing a lot of innovation around different funding models. You see, public benefit companies that are building open infrastructure that they are then an application on top of, where they can make money as an application but build for an ecosystem. You're seeing more tech co-ops. You're seeing DAOs in the crypto space. There's different ways that people are organizing where how that value might be shared to actually build this kind of digital public infrastructure that could enable a different type of technology to be built on top of that more focused on local. There we go. And so what this does is provides an opportunity for smaller, local, community-made software. And so this is from a designer named Maggie Appleton, has a great presentation on this called Home-Cooked Software and Barefoot Developers. And I think it's a really helpful comparison to think about how the model for technology might change. So what we've been living in is a world of professional software, right? Where you have to go to the fanciest bakery or restaurant in order to get your technology, right? Now with these new tools, we're starting to see that you can have home-cooked software. You can start doing this yourself, or others can do this more locally. So it is really specified to what it is that you needed to do. It doesn't have to be built for billions. It can be built for dozens. Like, there's a real transition here. So you can kind of think about this as like, here's the long tail where everybody's been building for these big use cases that you can get billions of people in, but there's this long tail of lots of different use cases that previously couldn't be served by professional software and now are open, and you know, we don't know what will be there yet, right? Because we haven't been able to do this, but that's part of what's really, really interesting. And so one of the questions that Wayne and I have been asking, and I think more generally been asking here, is, you know, who are the people that are helping build the software? We don't think everybody is going to be building their own software necessarily, but now there's a group of folks that do not have to be professional developers, that can be embedded in their communities themselves, that can then craft and control that software for themselves, that web technology for themselves, and what it is that they can do is also, how are they trained? What resources will they have? And how can we help provide support for that? So these folks in the middle that Maggie calls barefoot developers, that we might call local first entrepreneurs, that we've also talked about as local relational technologists, which I know Josh will talk more about. This is exactly what today is all about, right? It's like, who are these folks? And it might be students that are learning how to do this for their own communities, for building fridges in their local community that will actually take care of a need that you have. It could also be technologists that are living in a place, know how to do something, and now they can provide some of those benefits to their local community. And it could be people who are already doing this today just without those tools, that now make those tools available to them. It could be running a local community space, and now you can do a lot of more different things. Love that we've been able to kind of talk and frame about this today. We have a few other folks here that are in this same world of trying to occupy this space of how do we build local relational technology. So I'll have folks come up and introduce themselves and kind of explain what their project is, and then we can take some time afterwards for questions and explore, you know, what that might look like in the future and how we might support more people doing this kind of work. So I'll kick it off to Josh. Yeah, what you get to say.